When is where my scars were. If I needed to go shopping, I didn't go to Win to go shopping. If I needed to do anything, I didn't go back to Win. I actually, when I got right with the Lord, I was working in Win. After that, man, the Lord got me into Far City, and I was so happy being here. And as far as I was concerned, I wasn't going back to Win. People knew me in Win. They knew what I used to be in Win. They knew where I come from in Win. When I went to Win, people brought up the past. They reminded me of my failures. They reminded me of my hurts. They reminded me of, well, you know, that I really wasn't welcome there. Tornado blows through. First thing we do is we realize they need help. We immediately load up and we go that way. We lay everything aside. We put it all those things of the past, and Win was something different for me because I didn't realize until a few days into deployment at Win what it was actually doing. Our theme this year with Dixie Jackson is the woman at the well. And I tell you, that's a scripture that is so powerful and means so much because that woman shows up at that well in the middle of the day because she's dodging people that have stuff against her. She's dodging people that have hurt. That she's dodging the people that always bring up the things of her past. She don't go and just hang out with them because they're going to bring up stuff she don't want to talk about. That's where I was with Win. I didn't want to go to Win. But I knew that they needed hope. They needed the healing of Christ Jesus. And when God gets a hold of you, we lay all of our water pots aside. We lay everything aside, all that past, and we go just like her. When she laid everything down and said, I've got to go share with these people what can change their life. I've just met the man that knows everything about me. And if he knows everything about me, it don't matter how much they know about me because he can change all that. So just like with Win, that's what I did is I realized I had to lay all that aside. Jesus met me at my well. When I got to the well, there was Jesus, and he changed everything about me. And he showed that I have hope, and man, that he does an amazing, amazing thing in my life. Thank you, Arkansas Baptist. Without you, I'm not here. Without you, I'm trying to get water from a dry well. Thank you, Arkansas.
Well, good morning and welcome to Second Baptist Church. We're so glad that you are here and have chosen to worship with us today. And we're looking forward to our time together today. If you're a guest, we want to say a special welcome to you. We'd love to connect with you, and there's a couple ways that we can do that. One way is there's a card in the pew back in front of you. We'd love for you to fill that card out, and at the end of service, you can leave that card in the pew, or you can leave it in the offering plate as we leave, either way. Or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new. Click that button, fill that information out, and it's a way for us to know who's worshiping with us today. And so we're grateful that you are here. Obviously, from the video, we are starting our focus and emphasis on Dixie Jackson offering. This is one of our offering that everything that you give stays in state, if you will. It helps to support the mission work of Arkansas Baptist. And so you'll notice in your bulletin we've set a goal of $2,600, and we'll be taking this up for the next several weeks. And so I want to challenge you in two ways. At the small table at the back of the room here, there's a couple things there for you. First of all, there is a card that looks like this one, and it has 8 days of prayer. And so today begins day one. And so I would encourage you to take that. It gives you some emphasis on just specific things of prayer. And so take that, and each day just find some time to be praying for the Dixie Jackson offering that will help us to just reach Arkansas, help Arkansas Baptists all over the state. The other item that you'll find back there is an envelope, and it's our Dixie Jackson giving envelope. And so I always challenge our folks to take the envelope and then just begin praying, God, what is it you'd have me to give? And I firmly believe when you do that, God will speak to you clearly. God will put a number in your heart and just be faithful to give. And this is over and above our tithes and offerings. And to be honest with you, I'm going to talk to you in even just a moment about some different ways different things and opportunities to give. And so I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. There's a lot of different things going on right now. But I just want to encourage you to take those two things, begin praying for Dixie Jackson offering, and then also pray, take an envelope and pray about what the Lord might have you to give. All right, let me share with you a few other things that are happening on the life and ministry of our church. Tuesday, we are hosting some pastors from around the area in our pastors' fellowship. And so we want to try to be a blessing to those pastors. And so if you'd like to give in a way to just be a source of encouragement and thanks to them, you can do that. You can talk to me or even talk to Pastor Jonathan, and we just want to be a blessing to them. Whether it's gift cards, maybe you want to buy a gift that we may give away to all the to a pastor that comes. We're going to serve them lunch on Tuesday, and just thank you so much for that. Be praying for them. It's a neat ministry opportunity. Another opportunity in terms of being able to give, pray for, and give. We have a team of our own that are going to London to work alongside Brant and Kara, and they are going at the end of October. And so they're going to help put on a conference to help encourage, support, equip missionaries that have already, they're on the field. They've been there somewhere between 3 and 6 months, and for most of them, they've had no contact or no interaction with Americans at all. Some of their kids haven't spoken to another kid in English there where they're at because they're just not available, not option for them, because it's not just missionaries there in London. It's missionaries from around the world, to be honest with you. But anyway, so be praying for this missions opportunity, and so and just be praying about how you may be able to give. If you would like to give, on one of your pink envelopes, or if you write a check or however you do that, if you want to designate London, but maybe you just want to begin praying about how the Lord might have you support the work and ministry that's going on there. Okay? All right. I know there's a lot of things happening. Last thing I want to mention to you is October the 1st, we are going to have what we call Lunch with the Pastor. That is our new membership class. And so some of you plan to send invitations to you, but we want you to know that anybody and everybody, you're welcome. Whether you're not sure if you're quite ready to join, you want to know more about what it is to be a part of your second family, whatever the case is, on October the 1st, immediately following the worship service, we'll have lunch available for you, anybody that's interested in that. And then we will have our time together, and you can learn more about what it means to be a member here at Second Baptist. And so I know that's a lot of information, a lot to talk about this morning, and I'm ready to sing and worship the Lord. The Bible says this, man, today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so it's an opportunity for us, no matter what life's thrown at you this past week, God is still good. He's been gracious to us, and may we rejoice and celebrate all that He is and all that He's done. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to stand and sing together. God, You're good and gracious and kind. Thank You for today. Thank You for the opportunity to worship You. I pray, God, that all that we say and do would bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. Lord, we love You, we praise You, give us wisdom as we pray about these giving opportunities and different ministries and activities that are happening. Lord, we love You and we praise You, we thank You for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing this song? I want to preface this song. We haven't done it in a while. It's a little bit different because there are parts to it. Men in the room, you have a part. Ladies, you have a part. So ladies, Kelsey, if you'll bring up the next slide, I want to explain this real quick. Men, you're going to sing the first part. Ladies, you're going to sing what's in the parentheses and what is bold, okay? So this part is an echo, but when we get into the chorus, the men sing something totally different than the ladies. Ladies, you have a whole lot more words, all right? So be aware of that. We're going to sing this through twice. So if you don't get it on the first time, you should be able to slide in on the second time. Ladies, if you do have a problem with it, just join the men. We're going to have some fun with this song as we sing to God that He is holy.
You are holy.
You are holy.
let the ladies get a breath, right? How many of you were able to accomplish it, ladies? You know, the ladies are a whole lot more capable of getting all those words in than the men, right? Men, we got the easy part. We just had to repeat some, right? So anyway, let's talk. Let's continue to sing about the same God who He worked back then. He's still going to work today.
I'm calling on the God. Thank you.
as we are here. We're calling on you to come and move in our midst. Holy Spirit, please come and fill us again. And we'll continue to sing praise to your name.
King of love and give.
Well, amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the Gospel of John? John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 6. You know, part of preaching, but part of any public speaking is there's supposed to be this moment of building a level of rapport and trust so that the audience will listen to the speaker and what have you. And I thought a moment ago, it's probably a good thing that Jonathan isn't preaching this morning. He might have lost rapport talking about women and their qualification to get more words in than the men. I don't know. That might not have been good for him. So excited this morning. I want to preach to you a message that I've titled, Sent by God. Sent by God. Do you remember as children, do you ever have this moment, especially if you had siblings, being in your house and in the other room, maybe brother and sister, somebody, then there's some disagreement or fighting, or maybe they're doing something that they're not supposed to be doing, right? I mean, all of you were great kids, so you weren't the one doing that, but maybe your siblings were, right? And there was this moment of your mom, dad, whoever just said, hey, go tell them, knock it off, or go tell them to stop. And for me, I was the youngest, so sometimes I would go and try to get them to, hey, don't do that or whatever, and they would look at me like, are you kidding me? Like, I was the youngest by 5 years, so I wasn't just a year younger or whatever, like, I was youngest, right? But then, you know, of course, and being the youngest, you go back in. I told them, and they didn't listen. And then usually what followed, did this happen at your house? Whether it was mom or dad, you say, you go back in there and tell them, I said, don't do it, or I said, stop. Change the level, right? Because you went in as the little brother, the little sister, whatever it is, to communicate, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. But then when you went in and it was mom said, or dad said, or whoever, there was a certain weight or authority that going, man, this kind of changed the game, right? Because this isn't just a little brother being a little brother. Well, this morning I want to preach to you this message about being sent by God. And we often talk about the sent part, but sometimes we don't talk about the authority of who we're sent by. And we're going to dig into some of that this morning. And so John chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, and I know you just got a quick break on the bench or just for a moment, but if you will, if you find your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? The Bible says this, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do. And God, I pray that you would speak to us through your word this morning. God, hide me behind your cross. Fill me with your spirit. Give me every word to say, nothing more and nothing less. I pray and ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So the message this morning, sent by God. We're going to look at these three verses and see three important truths out of each one of these verses. And so the main idea of the message this morning is you are sent by God to be a witness. The text is relevant this morning because John the Baptist is helps us relate because his life and ministry, in a lot of ways, ought to be something in which we reflect, something in which we carry out. And so we've got some important truth here that we need to grab a hold of, that not only was John sent by God to be a witness, but that you and I are sent as well. And so here's the question then, are you living as one who has been sent? Are you living as one that has been sent by God? As a believer, as a Christian, you've been sent. Every one of us has been sent by God with a mission and a purpose. And so let's dig in together. The first five verses, if you were able to be with us last week, it points to the whole Gospel of John points to the deity of Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, and because He's the Son of God, He is God. And so we walked through the first five verses last week looking at the deity of Christ. That He is not only deity, He is God come in the flesh, but we also see His deity in His activity in creation. That Jesus always has been and Jesus always will be. And John, the writer of the Gospel of John, is working to demonstrate that He's the Son of God and that He is God Himself. And He has come to live on mission with a purpose. And then he introduces us here to John the Baptist. Now, he doesn't give that inscription. The other Gospels give that. And it just simply means John the Baptizer was the idea behind that, okay? And so let's look at this together. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So you see that John is already drawing a certain line of distinguishment between where he began and where he's going now. Because in the first five verses, who was it focused on? It was focused on Jesus, the Son of God, that Jesus is God. And we talked about the incarnation, that is the activity of the Son of God, God Himself, taking on the man suit, becoming fully God yet fully man. Okay, that's why we celebrate Christmas and so on and so forth. But what he's doing here, verse 6, is he's going, the next person, the next character I'm going to introduce you to is different than the one I've already talked about. First five verses is about Jesus. Verse 6 is about John. Look at what he says. He says, there was a man named John. He's not claiming any deity for John. He's not claiming any certain level or status. What's he saying? He's saying, John the Baptist is a man just like you and I. John the Baptist is on the same level as you and I. Now, God uses him in an incredible way. I mean, here we are, some 2,000 years later, we're talking about John the Baptist. God uses him in an incredible way, but he starts off saying, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So, number one, what I want you to see here is we have one who has sent us. One who has sent us. So, notice he says, there was a man sent from God. Marker, underline that phrase, sent from God. So, first five verses, it's all about Jesus and His deity. Now we transition and we talk about a man that's just like you and I. And he says his man was sent from God. God sent him on a mission. He had a clear mission. And we're going to talk about that mission in just a moment. But what I need you to see, bigger than the mission, is from who in which he was sent. He is sent to bear witness of Jesus of the first five verses. We're going to see that in a moment. But he is sent by God the Father. Man, that gives validity and weight. The same way in which you ran into the room and told your brother and sister, hey, stop doing that. They didn't listen to you. You went back and told mom. And mom said, you tell them I said quit. Then when you went in and reported saying, hey, mom said everything changed. The temperature in the room changed. Your message did not change. The purpose in which you were there did not change. What changed? You have been sent by one who had authority. Let me remind you this morning, believer, the reason and the significance of your life is that Jesus has redeemed you and God the Father has sent you. There's authority and power because of the one who has sent you. The authority and the power and the cleverness and the weirdness of John the Baptist, that didn't give significance to his mission. That didn't give significance to his life. John the Baptist was a weird dude. But God used him in an incredible way because God is the one who sent him. So I need you to see clearly this morning, this man was sent from God whose name is John. Malachi 3:1 says, behold, a prophecy about this man. I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the company whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. God is giving a prophetic word about John the Baptist because God had a plan from the beginning to send John the Baptist as one that prepares the way of Jesus. And so God had sent John on this mission, and I just want to remind you of a few verses that God has specifically sent you. John 17:18, we refer to this in John 17 as the high priestly prayer. What is this? It is Jesus praying. And here's what's incredible. Jesus specifically prays to God the Father for you. And then he's praying, he says this, he says John 17:18, as you talking to God the Father, as God the Father sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. So here's the reality, believer, this morning. You repented of your sins and placed your faith and trust in Christ this morning. You've been sent on a mission, but I need you to see this morning that you have been commissioned by the Father. He has sent you. Jesus has sent you into the world. John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Man, there are lost people all around us. We have a lost community around us. We have a lost campus around us. We have a lost country around us. We have a mission, but I need you to be reminded this morning, the one that has enlisted you and the one that has sent you. Friend, I didn't send you. This church did not send you. Your mom and your dad, your grandma and grandma, they didn't send you. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ alone that saves you. And from the moment you were saved, you've been enlisted and you've been sent from the Lord Himself. And so it's not optional. It's not something that, well, I've got to consider. I got saved. I just got to consider if this is the mission. This is what I want to give my life to. Listen to me, dear friend. If you can say this morning, it's not the will of God for me to live on mission, then you're not a Christian. I know that's hard preaching. That's tough truth this morning. There's no such thing as a Christian who is not a witness. Because to do so would to separate the fundamental reality of, number one, why Jesus came, number two, why He saved you. Because, see, He didn't just save you so that we would have what we used to call fire insurance, so our get-out-of-hell-free card. He didn't just save us so that we could feel better about ourselves. He didn't just save us so that, man, we could go about living life the way we want to live, but rather He saved you and He made you. 2 Corinthians 5 says you're an ambassador because Jesus has enlisted you. He has cleaned you. He has redeemed you. And then He's thrown you out into the world to be a witness for Him. God has sent you. Second Baptist Church, that's why we have to be about the work of the mission. The mission is important. We're going to talk about that in a moment, but even if you were to make an argument, the mission is not that significant. It is because of the one who sent you. Right? As a child, sometimes your parents or your grandparents, whoever it was, sometimes told you to do things that didn't necessarily seem to make a lot of sense and you didn't understand. But they were preparing you. They were doing, they could see what you couldn't see at times in your life. And ultimately, there's an even grander picture that God, who stands outside of time, has somehow, it doesn't make any sense to me that God would step out of heaven to bring about salvation in my life. But not only would He do that in my life and in your life, but then He chooses to use us and send us. And so, dear friend, I want you to see, as John was sent, so are you and I. So then, number two. Number one, we have one who has sent us. That is God Himself. Number two, we have one mission. We have one mission. Look at verse 7. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. So notice this, that he's been sent by one, he's been sent by God the Father, but then he's got this one mission, this one focus. Notice what it says. It says, this man came for a witness. What do we know about somebody who is a witness? And not even just in the Christian sense, but just in the general sense. For the most part, when it comes to talking about a witness, they're a witness, not necessarily a victim or a part of whatever's happening and taking place. Because a lot of times we think about a witness in terms of a crime or whatever it is. But there's all sorts of people who are witnesses that are outside of a crime. Even on a day, an incredible day of a wedding where man and woman join together, there are witnesses among them. They are testifying. They're not the specific activity or the activity isn't about them, but rather they're testifying of what's going on. They're witnessing. They're giving an account of. And so here's the pictures that the gospel writer John is talking about John the Baptist, saying he's been sent by God and he is sent to be a witness. That he isn't the one that is bringing light. We're going to see that in just a moment. But rather, he is to testify. He's to share the truth in which he knows and he has learned. He says this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Circle, underline, mark the light. It reminds us back up a few verses where he begins talking about Jesus, that Jesus is the light. And so what is John's responsibility? What is his mission? To go and tell others about Jesus. To go and tell lost and dying world. Because remember, the Jews have been waiting for the Messiah. God has been silent for hundreds of years, seemingly. And so now God raises up John the Baptist, just a few months older than Jesus himself. And God has raised him up and sent him. And he's telling people, hey, the Messiah is coming. The promised one of God is coming. Our Redeemer, our Savior that you've been waiting for thousands of years. He is on his way. He is here. John's mission was to tell others about Jesus. Notice what he goes on to say. Bear witness of the light, look at this, that all through him might believe. That's a lot of weight and responsibility. God's been silent for years. The Jews are struggling, waiting on their Messiah. And God raises up this unseemly, strange man to prepare people that Jesus the Messiah has come. And he's to go and preach and teach and help prepare the way that when Jesus comes, they'll be ready to receive him. The gospel writer says here that not only he's been sent by God, he's been given a mission, and he's to go and to witness, and he's to testify of the light, and then listen to the phrase, that all through him might believe. Could it be, as we look back at this, you look and go, man, God raised up John the Baptist to prepare the people to receive Jesus there and then that moment. For us, as we look back, man, we go, this is easy to see God's plan and God's story. But I wonder what John felt like. If John looked around and go, man, there's so much going on. Man, where the Romans are, man, just overwhelming us, and there's so much of brokenness and worship and idolatry and all these things going on. Man, how in the world, you know, I wonder what some of John's thoughts were. But dear friend, can I remind you this morning, aren't we guilty of that at times? That go, man, God has saved us. God has redeemed us. And I know I'm supposed to be a witness, but how is it? You know, at times we feel like we're the only one. We look around and go, man, how can we be a part of reaching Russellville? How can we be a part of reaching Arkansas Tech and Arkansas and the nation and the world? But dear friend, can I remind you that you and I have a mission. We've been sent by God and we have a mission, and we need to lead in such a way and testify in such a way and witness in such a way that we believe that God has sent us, that all may believe through our witness. I wonder if it was left up to only my witness, or if it was left only up to your witness, how many people would be impacted with the gospel of Jesus? Here's the beauty as we look around this morning. There's a lot of people in this room that believe that God has sent them, and a lot of people in this room have lived out this mission for a long time. The beauty is that we're not alone. But I wonder if what would happen if we shared the gospel, invited people to church as if we were the only one. If every one of us believed individually, we've got to live this out as if we're the only one, but then resting in the hope that we're not the only ones, what our community and what our country might look like. Acts 5:32 and says, we are His witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. Dear friend, let me remind you, as you share the gospel and as you're a bold witness, you're not alone. You and I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God will work in you, that you may be bold and can share about your faith. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Man, you have the Spirit of God living in you, that you and I can be bold with our faith. You and I can talk to somebody about their relationship with God, and do they know Jesus? And man, listen, I go to church at Second Baptist. Would you come go with me? Would you sit with me? And there's just so much that we can do and how we can make an impact for the kingdom. We can pray for one another. We can pray for our co-workers. We can pray for our neighbors. We've been sent by God. We've been sent by one. Secondly, we have one mission. And then number three, we have one hope. We have one hope. Look at verse 8. He was not that light. Wasn't that an encouraging word? Like, he was good, but he wasn't it. He wasn't everything. Notice what he says. He says he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. There's a lot of debate and argument about this, and as we look at this, here's what I believe the gospel writer of John is trying to communicate. That it wasn't about John. John was the witness. He wasn't the event. John was the one that was to prepare the way. He wasn't the way. See, here's what we have to realize is that Jesus has saved us. He has sent us on mission. We have a clear mission and purpose in which God has left for us. But it's not about us. It's not about who we are or what we've done, because here's the reality. I cannot save a single solitary person. John could not save a single solitary person. Man, it makes me feel weird sometimes. People will hear about mission trips that we've taken and been on or whatever it is, and maybe hear about people responding and placing their faith and trust in Jesus and going, man, that was awesome. Y'all went on that trip to Africa and you saved so many people. Man, if I save them, they're still lost. I promise you. And I understand what people are trying to communicate, but here's what we've got to understand. I'm not the light in the sense that John is using this. I'm not the one that's the Savior, the Messiah, the promised one. You're not that Savior, that promised one, that Messiah from God, but rather you and I are to bear witness of the Messiah. That's what John is driving at here. He's saying he's not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John was to prepare the way, and there is only one hope, and it's not in John, it's in Jesus. And so you and I, as we invite people to church, as we share the gospel, as we talk to them about our faith, we aren't the hero. Jesus is always the hero of the story, because He's the only one that changes lives. He's the only one that saves the lost. He's the only one that can bring about forgiveness and salvation. John 1:20 says, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed. This is John the Baptist. He says, I am not the Christ. Because, right, John was gaining some notoriety, and man, they were thinking, maybe he's the Messiah. Maybe he's the one. And John was drawing the line in the sand abundantly clear that he's not the Messiah. He is not the Christ. Here's what you can be sure of. God shares his glory with no man. And you begin to put yourself in a position that it's as if you're the one that changes people's lives, or you're the one that somehow, redeems somebody, or whatever the case is. Now, here's the deal. God uses people. That's mind-blowing to me, that God would use you and I, knowing the things I've done, knowing the things I'm guilty apart from the saving work of Jesus Christ. God uses us, but we are just the tool. We are not the one that is doing the work. It's the hand and mercy and grace of God. John 8:12 said, then Jesus spoke to them saying, he said this, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So what's John writing about here? He's saying he's not the one that changes lives. He's just the one that's to tell them about him. John 3:19. Why does he use this illustration of light and darkness? Listen to this, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The illustration, the picture is this, is that whenever I'm lost in my sin, the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. What happens is that I live in a state of spiritual darkness. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about that Satan is able to blind us. We're not able to see and understand our own sinfulness and our own way of life sometimes, and how dark and how terrible it is. And the Bible uses darkness to talk about a lifestyle of sin. Not that there's not eventually or occasionally some things that look like good and positive things, but because of my own sinfulness, I'm in a state of darkness. But whenever Jesus saved me, the light came, revealed all of that, gave me grace to repent and believe on him. And then the Spirit of God comes and lives within me. And so in that sense, I become the light of the world because it's Jesus living in me. And that's what happens at salvation. But I need you to listen to John 3:19 again. This is the condemnation, that light has come to the world, that Jesus has come to the world, and that men love darkness rather than light. See, the Isaiah 53 prophesied that Jesus would come into his own and his own would not receive, meaning that he would come and be a man, live as them, but he would be perfect, he'd be the fully Son of God, and they would reject him. And that has continued to happen ever since Jesus came and died on the cross. But looking at this verse, understanding this, that light has come to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Let me help you. Have you ever heard anybody say, how could a loving God, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you've heard this, how could a loving God send people to hell? Anybody ever heard that? All of us, right? Okay? I'm going to show you why it's not true. Okay? And it's the wrong question. And I'll tell you this. God does not send people to hell. Now, hold on, preacher. There's only two places to go, heaven or hell. Yes, that's true. Okay? And apart from a saving relationship with Jesus, people spend eternity in hell. But here's why God does not send people to hell. Look at this verse again. This is the condemnation. Light has come to the world. And look at this. Men love darkness rather than light. This is the condemnation. What does condemnation mean? It's judgment. What is John in chapter 3 saying? This is why men, women, boys, and girls die and go to hell. This is the condemnation. That's what he's saying. Light has come to the world. Jesus came into the world. What is he saying? Jesus has come to do all that he could, right? Because just a few verses before this, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So he's saying, light has come to the world, but men didn't receive it. Why? Because they love darkness too much. What's he saying? They love their sin too much. This is a condemnation. Light has come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. So, dear friend, let me just share this with you. If anybody spends eternity in hell, it will be by their own choice because they love their sin too much. And I would just ask you this morning, if you've not surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, what sin is so sweet that's worth dying and going to hell for? There ain't one. I know that's not good grammar, but it's good preaching. There's not a sin that's worth dying and going to hell for. And if anybody in this room or anybody in the world that spends eternity separated from God in hell, it will not be because God sent you there. It will be because you sent yourself. That's what you chose. And so, friend, if you've not surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, won't you do it today? Eternity is too significant to gamble with. Eternity is too important. Give your life to Jesus today. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Man, here's the thing. I believe this all my heart. There's not a person in this room that has done too much, gone too far, or stayed too long that you can't be saved. You're not so lost and so wrecked that God can't redeem you. Won't you give your life to Jesus today? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call out on Him for salvation and God will save you today. You're going to have a moment here in just a minute that you may have an opportunity to pray and receive Christ as Savior. But for those of you that are Christians, those of you that are believers, you don't have a family member. You don't have a son or daughter. You don't have an aunt or an uncle or a neighbor or coworker. It's so far gone that God can't save them. We need to live a life as if we're living a life that God the Father has sent us. And that we have a mission to be a witness. And the only hope that this world has, the only hope that our state has, the only hope that Arkansas Tech has, or this community has, or Russellville, or the River Valley, the only hope is Jesus. And we need to beg God that He might use us, and that He might save the lost. Over the next several weeks, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to share your faith and invite folks to church. Man, we can do all the social media. We can have the best website. And man, we can put a graphic on everybody's vehicle and all those sorts of things. And we try to use as many of those resources as we can. Nothing beats making a gospel impact like a personal invitation. Nothing does. And so, at the table, the back of the room where some of the Dixie Jackson stuff is, there's some of the cards. We had them before and we ran low, and so we've ordered some more. There's a jar and there's some cards, and it simply says, "You're invited," and it has our church information on it. They're in stacks of 10. My challenge to you is for the next several weeks that you'll take a stack of 10 and you'll be intentional when you're at a restaurant or you're pumping gas or your whatever it is, somebody bringing groceries to your car, you'll be intentional about inviting people to church and looking for opportunities to share the gospel. God is doing some incredible things around our state. I believe people are hungry for something different in their life. And so our time of invitation is going to be this. For those of you that need to repent, place your faith and trust in Christ, do it today. Those of you that are believers, I'm going to challenge you, man. Some of you know people that need to hear the gospel. Some of you live next to them, work with them, or whatever the case is. You just want to pray. I read this week that, and we can't bring the fire of revival, but we can stack the wood. Man, we can try to do all that we can prepare for God to work and God to move. And so during our time of invitation here in a moment, I'm going to invite you to come. And we begin praying for our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, that they may come to know Christ. So if you will, if you'll bow your head and close your eyes with me as we have a time of invitation, and you may be here this morning and saying, "Pastor, I'm lost. I need to be saved. I need to ask Jesus to save me. I've been holding on to sin in my life. I've realized this morning it's not worth gambling. It's not worth chancing." And so if that's you, you just pray right where you're at. and ask God to save you and forgive you of your sins and be the boss and master of your life. Pray something like this. Say, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll be what you want me to be." And I pray this in Jesus' name. With head bowed and eyes closed and nobody else looking around, and you'd say, "Pastor, I prayed and asked God to save me and forgive me my sin this morning, and I meant it with all my heart, and I'm absolutely not ashamed." Would you just slip your head up and look right at me and say, "Brother Chris, I prayed and asked Jesus to save me today." We're going to have a time of invitation, opportunity to come. If you want to come and pray for friends and family, coworkers, maybe something going on in your life you want to spend time praying for. Maybe you just want to pray that God will give you boldness and give you strength to be a witness. I'm going to pray, and then this altar's open. You come. Jesus, you're good, and there's none like you. And God, I pray that all that we say and do would bring honor and glory to your name. Move during this time. Help us to respond in obedience to you, to who you are and to what you've done. Pray in Jesus' name. God spoke to your heart this morning and you want to come and pray, you come. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for all that you are. We pray, God, you continue to work among your people. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. Well, I'm going to invite Nikki up this morning. And Nikki and Nate and baby Nova have been with us for quite a while. And Nikki came this morning, and we've prayed a time or two, just struggling with salvation and where she was at with the Lord. And she came this morning and said, "Brother Chris, I don't know, and I want to know. I'm tired of wrestling with it." And so Nikki knelt at the altar just a few moments and prayed and gave her heart to Jesus. Amen. Amen. We'll be praying for Nikki. We're going to have a time. We'll schedule baptism and talk more about that. And so just so excited. And I just want to encourage you. Let Nikki's testimony this morning be a source of encouragement to you. I've been in those seasons of doubt, and I'll tell you this, you can't grow if you're doubting. It's impossible. And so God never gets mad at us for making sure, and you need to know that you have a relationship with Him. Amen? Amen. Well, after service, come by, just encourage her and hug her neck and just be praying for her, all right? So I'll let you go. Yeah. Well, amen. Well, just... Man, it's so good to know when God is alive and at work and moving among His people. And man, you just need to know that if you ever need to talk about salvation or talk about your relationship with the Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to be a blessing to you and a friend to you and a source of encouragement. And we are going to have an opportunity as we leave today, an opportunity to give. And let this be a challenge to you. Again, I know that there are several opportunities out before you. Pastor's Fellowship this Tuesday. Many of you have stepped up and helped in a big way with our pantry and those needs there. Thank you so much for that. Dixie Jackson, London mission trip. There's a lot of different things that are happening. Fall Fest is going to be around the corner before you know it. I know a lot of those things. And if I can, let me pastor you just a moment, okay? Be faithful in your regular tithing and your regular giving. Be faithful in that. These other things, let me challenge you, this to be over and above giving. And so, man, if your regular offering or whatever it is, that man, you know what you get paid and you're faithful to tithe on that. And thank you and your faithfulness, continue in that. And these other things you're praying about over and above giving. And I know that's hard. I know in the state of our economy and all those things, I know it's a sacrifice. I really do. And I'm grateful and thankful for the way you give so that we as a church can fulfill this mission. All right? Don't forget the prayer guide, the Dixie Jackson envelope, and then also there's some cards back there that are paper-clipped in stacks of 10. If you're welcome to take those and use those to give out. So let's stand together, and we will pray and be dismissed, all right? Jesus, you're good, and there's none like you. God, thank you for your grace and mercy, and God, I thank you for how you love and care for us. And God, thank you for Nikki's testimony this morning. God, thank you for meeting her. And Lord, I pray it'd be an encouragement to others. Lord, bless the tithes and offerings. Go before us and behind us. Help us to be a witness for you. Help us to be bold in the mission you've sent us on. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.